And a bunch of players said you guys practiced the Hail Mary. How close was that to perfection of that play, and kind of how much time do you guys put into practicing that?
Yeah, I thought the plays also leading up to it were a really big deal, because when you're in that spot, you don't have timeouts, and we used one early, obviously, to get out of bounds, to give yourself a chance at the next play. And I thought the real factor was there of Zach Ertz, you know, going up to get a tip. To keep the ball alive for Noah to get there, because it's hard just to go up and snatch it. So you almost have to go up and expect a bounce or a tip to go. And Jaden did a fantastic job of, you know, buying time, over to the right side. I don't know how long the play was. Maybe you guys might, but it took a long-ass time. 13 seconds, yeah. I felt every bit of them.
The play before it is a crucial play. Obviously, the execution of the play itself, it's a long shot probability play. But it's, you know, a chance from the 48-yard line. It is not a good chance and almost a zero chance from your own 35-yard line. And the incompetence of the Bears not to cover the boundaries, the sidelines with 6 seconds to go, is a big part of the final two-play sequence. They executed it perfectly, and at the end, it was so well done. I don't think I've watched this play as closely as I can. Zach Ertz is definitely up there. I think Stevenson's the only one to get a finger or a hand on the ball, but it doesn't matter. Ertz is up there. He's 6'6". He's athletic. He's got hops. You know, he and McCaffrey are in the middle of that. You got Noah Brown behind it. You got Terry trailing at like the 6-yard line, right around there. And it was perfect execution. And at the same time, for something like that to happen, typically you need the other team to help out a bit. And the Bears had number 29 Stevenson for the first 4.1 seconds of the play over yucking it up and jawing it up and talking trash with the fans. And by the way, somebody, a friend of mine pointed this out. He said, you went through the last play very interestingly, and you covered everything except for one thing. Why didn't the Bears call a timeout? They had timeouts left, and they should have called the timeout certainly when they saw Stevenson not involved in the play. Yeah, it's a great point. They had still multiple timeouts left. Usually you'll see that defensively. You'll see a timeout just to see what the alignment is, just to go over responsibilities. You know, we got you guys here. We got one guy that's not going to let anybody behind him, etc. They had a spy on the play. I don't know what he was spying. I guess Jaden could have taken off. And with Jaden, you could have, you know, thrown the ball all the way across the field to Eckler, you know, at the 25 or whatever. Who knows? Ben Standing is with us. He was there. Wow. I mean, I start with you every week with just, you know, your overall impressions. We've been doing this for a couple of years. Usually it's, it was hitting. That's an all-timer. That is an all-timer. Give me your thoughts. Give me what your mindset was there towards the end. Were you packing it up, getting ready to get to the locker room? What were you doing?
So I don't have to file a story like at the buzzer. I do technically have to write a little bit, a couple takeaways for The Athletic. So I'd already started earlier about, you know, hey, they, you know, the defense played well and they held on. They didn't score enough in the red zone, whatever. And then it turned to, oh boy, I guess this is gonna be a tough one. And I was still in that mode when all of a sudden, you know, the last 25 seconds happened. I think the crazy part for me, Kevin, is that, look, we all know that the odds of a Hail Mary working are pretty low. But when it was happening, I was like, I was like, it didn't seem, I mean, it was crazy. Don't get me wrong. But I was like, yeah, okay. I kind of buy that it was going to happen on some level because of the way things have gone with Jaden being this sort of this miraculous figure that's come into our lives over the last, you know, few months. And the way that, you know, I still questioned some of the roster and some of the weaknesses and blah, blah, blah. But the vibe here is just off the charts, and it's kind of just continued to increase week over week. And so, you know, I don't know, what do they say? Luck is the residue of design, or, you know, karma or whatever. Like, all of those things are just really seem to be happening right now. And it's just mind-boggling that this keeps this keeps happening. I mean, now that it's over, it seems like it would have just felt wrong if they had actually just blown that game the way it looked like they were going to, because of just how well things have gone so far. So yeah, it was crazy. You know the saying, there's no cheering in the press box, and there wasn't cheering, but the amount of gasps and oh my gods and all that kind of stuff was pretty significant. I mean, nothing compares to the fans, to the players and coaches running onto the field. It was like everybody saw. I mean, it was an unbelievably incredible moment, and it was really fun to be there.
Yeah, I mean, the luck is the residue of design. You know, good begets good, all of this stuff. There is a vibe right now, and you just can't chalk it up to, okay, well, finally, you know, they're starting to get the breaks, they're starting to get the bounces. There is definitely a group of people that were picked for certain reasons. Obviously, the quarterback's the most important. Without him, none of this is happening at the level it's happening. But, you know, I talked about in my game take, I just think that there is just this feeling, all of them are speaking of, you know, a brotherhood and a caring for each other. You get that with a winning team, typically. And I don't know which comes first, the enthusiasm, the good attitude, the positivity, or the winning. But what do you think? You're around it every day. You've been in real dysfunctional environments out there. Why is this one so different?
Yeah, you know, so this morning I was looking back through some of the articles I wrote going back to, you know, OTAs and that time. And, you know, again, it's the most positive time of year for every team. So when we hear Jonathan Allen say, boy, I'm really invigorated with this, you know, with the vibe that's going on here, and you're like, okay, sure, I buy it, you know, whatever. Jerry McLaurin, kind of the same thing. Wow, I'm really excited to come in every day and this, that, and the other. And like, okay, sure, whatever. But then you kind of look back and realize that, you know, there was something for real. And then Jaden was part of that as well when they talked about his work ethic and getting in there so early. And then, you know, the Dan Quinn piece of this, you know, again, time will tell how this whole thing works out. But the number one thing that people discussed was that he's a guy that, you know, is a connector of people, that he relates to these people, the players, the coaches, he gets everybody to buy in. And you're like, okay, sure. I mean, that sounds good. And I get that he has that, but to what degree? And it just feels like, and then of course with Adam Peters bringing in, you know, again, they didn't go out and spend crazy money on guys, but they spent money on specific types of players. The Bobby Wagners, the Ecklers, the Zach Ertzes, they drafted specific types of players, these team captains. And somehow this has all combined together it really has changed the vibe there to such degree. I mean, like I said, all that is happening here, 6-2 for the first time since 2008, 4-0 at home to start a year for the first time since 2005. You know, needless to say, winning a game like that, so many of these things are impossible to explain to an extent. And, you know, PFF can't quantify what is happening here from a mood standpoint. But the momentum is definitely real, and it's been building. And, you know, I'm sort of, you know me, I've come on, I try to keep my feet on the ground with what's happening. And I think that's still a reasonable way to cover the team. But at the same point, I'm kind of like, after yesterday, I'm like, okay, well, this mood is taking over. It is no longer just, hey, this is a plucky story. These guys are you know, having a good run here. We'll see what happens. I mean, what can you say? In terms of, you know, forget playoffs or Super Bowl, but just in terms of playing together as a group, as a team, I mean, it is pretty legitimately – oh, I don't know. It's pretty legitimately inspiring. It's like movie inspiring, because it isn't just, it doesn't quite make sense, and yet it is all working. And that goes, again, beyond just what we can look at X's and O's or who's on the roster. There's something else definitely happening.
Yeah, I mean, it does, you know, I want to give the organization and, you know, the owner and Peters and Quinn in particular with that staff a lot of the credit. But again, we know this sport. We're all fans of it. If you don't have number five at quarterback, it is not anywhere near the same thing. And what's ironic is I think we would have felt that way even if the Hail Mary had fallen to the ground. We would have felt like this is a team. But that would have been a gut-wrenching loss because they were the better team for pretty much 50 of the 60 minutes in the game. I mean, it's sports. These things happen. But I'm just curious. You were there. I'm watching on TV. There wasn't a moment that I thought that Chicago had a prayer in this game, even though you're saying, it's still 9-0, it's 12-0, they should be like 27-0, but they did, and they took the lead. That was stunning, on its own.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, look, this is a classic game, right? The one team is dominating, but they can't get in the end zone. They're kicking field goals, and the game is closer than it should be. And we all, whichever side you're on of that, you're always like, oh, boy. You start to get nervous because you know that eventually the other team will break through and your side, you only have so many opportunities realistically over a game to score. And then they don't, they're not getting it done. And then they had the Zacchaeus touchdown taken away, et cetera. And then, the DeAndre Swift touchdown, kind of comes out of nowhere. Caleb Williams certainly wasn't, at the peak of his powers, but some of the throws he started to make late in the second half were pretty ridiculous. And you're right, like it went from like it feels pretty comfortable that they're going to get this done to oh no, they're really going to blow this. I mean, let's not forget, the Bears. I mean, I agree with your earlier point that the pass before the Hail Mary was so crucial and such a weird play for the Bears to just completely give it to Washington, just to at least give them a shot at the Hail Mary. But the play earlier where they're at like the 2 yard line, Washington's 2 yard line, and then they do the handoff to the offensive lineman who can't even, doesn't even secure the play. I mean, that, if they score there, I mean, you don't know how the game unfolds, of course, after that, but if they score there, they already have the lead, and Washington, couldn't stop them on the next drive anyway. So, that was as fortunate a break as anything that happened, even if the Bears have ultimately took the lead. But yeah, I mean, Washington had so much going right for most of the game, except for they just couldn't score in the red zone. And for a team that's been highly efficient, at least since that Giants game, it was an odd circumstance to see. But yeah, it would have been absolutely brutal to have lost that game because again, it was like, okay, can you believe in this team? Can you buy them as an actual contender? And not to say that the Hail Mary changing the result changes perspectives, but yeah, it kind of does. Right? I mean, if you lose it, everybody's miserable.
Yeah, it's true, but I would have said that's one of those fluky losses. You just got to put it behind him, and you got to continue to play the way you've been playing, minus some of the mistakes that were made yesterday. Penalties, drops, missed field goal, couple of opportunities, touchdown called back Zacchaeus, touchdown, near touchdown to Ertz, challenged, but it probably was moving, as he hit the ground. It just was one of those weird kind of setups. To the end, I want to ask you about a play in specifically. When they had the ball after Kramer, number 68, inexplicably got the opportunity to play Refrigerator Perry at the goal line and fumbled. On the Jaden scramble on 3rd and 5, A, did you think he got the first down? B, did Quinn get asked at all about whether or not he thought about challenging it or going for it 4th and inches? I know it was from their own 12-yard line, but I'm just curious as to what we know about that particular play.
Yeah, I think in real time, sitting there with next to David Aldridge, and we were like thinking he got it, but then we're like, maybe that's a bad measurement. And to your point about what should Quinn have challenged it or did he think about it, I'm not sure on either front. Just because you're burning a timeout if you get it wrong. Obviously, it's a huge deal.
It would have been their last timeout too.
Yeah, and obviously it's a huge deal to get it right. I wasn't there for Quinn because, the locker room was happening simultaneously, but I did ask Jaden Daniels, like, was there any discussion about it? He's like, well, I don't know what they were discussing on the sidelines, but, to me, like, yeah, I'm always aggressive. I always think, go for it. But, you know, they're obviously going to make the call. I mean, I think I would have punted myself just because it's just way too risky to give the Bears the ball right there. The only, I guess, upside would have been you would have had more time on the clock if the Bears quickly score, but that just goes way past my level of risk taking on that play. But yeah, I do wonder about the spot. I mean, you guys saw better on TV than I probably did, but initially I did think he had it. But you know how the spots of the football, it's almost hard to argue about them one way or the other.
You've been around for a lot of these seasons. Greatest ending to a game in franchise history?
Oh, man. I mean, it kind of feels like it, right? I mean, I'm trying to think. Like, the only other play I remember sort of, I mean, beyond, like, game-winning field goals, like the NFC Championship game in, what, 87 when Darryl Green helps sort of knock the ball away from Darren Nelson at the goal line, or he drops it, or whatever. Like, that's the one. I mean, that was not the same thing because it's on defense, but that was like the last one, the only one I could remember off the top of my head. It sort of,
yeah, that was nearly the last play. You're right. I didn't mention that one. That's a very good late play in a game. You know, Riggo's run comes with 10 plus minutes. The, you know, Daryl Grant return of Dexter's tip of Hogaboom's pass comes with a lot of time left. Daryl Green's punt return was in the third quarter. That's a good one. The Darren Nelson, Daryl Green play, that's like with 8 seconds left, and they're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think one of the things that really, stood out for me in the locker room after the game was, you know, for the last few weeks, you know, they beat the Cleveland game, they beat Cleveland, they keep winning and all these things. And I remember, like, asking different players, especially the guys who've been around for a bit, Jeremy Reeves, De'Ami Brown, and some others. And I was like, can you know, if I told you before the season started, would you have believed where you guys were? And, like, they just paused and thought and were like, you could just tell in their eyes, they're like, I can't really actually believe this is happening. Like Jeremy Reeves said after one game, he has no idea how to process this. And then so yesterday, without asking this, several players, Deron Payne, Sam Cosmi, John Bates, at like their second response to whatever was being asked was some version of, this doesn't usually go our way. And today it did, and it's been going this way. And, you know, this is an incredible feeling. And that's the thing, like, as much as, like, this is obviously tremendous for Dan Quinn and Peters and Jaden and Bobby Wagner and whoever else is new, it's great for them just because it's sports and competition and they're coming out successful. But to have gone through the chaos of the last several years, I mean, it is, and then to see this happening, as we know, as a reporter, as fans, whatever, we know how this is supposed to go or how it has gone. And to see it go the complete opposite, it's not just that they're steadily improving. This is miles and miles and miles different than what was happening. You can see the genuine human aspect of it. They're like, wow, I can't believe this is my life now. I can't believe this is actually, we're actually doing the same thing we always do, except we're winning. And the bounces are literally going our way. And that's, the human element of that comes into play more than it has typically through a standard year. Especially when, you know, again, for these guys, it never works out. And right now, nothing is going wrong.
Yeah, and I think all of that is great. And I think it's still the number one, like, take a step back, look at this team, and number one on the list is Jaden Daniels. Because without him, maybe they've got a nice little, 2018 with, Alex Smith. They were 5-2, remember, before, the bad thing happened. He broke his leg. But it just wasn't the same. Like, they're a dynamic football team offensively with one of the top quarterbacks in the league right now. Right now. He is an elite quarterback. And when you have that part taken care of, you can be, you're going to be in it. Every year, you're in it right now at 6-2. Like, we can sit there, Ben, we did this, I think, last week. We can sit there and say, all right, Daniel Jones, the Cardinals, Deshaun Watson, the Panthers, and even yesterday, let's face it, as good as Caleb was on those final two drives, It was one of the worst passing performances in NFL history through almost 3.5 quarters. He completed 4 balls for 36 yards until there were 10 minutes left in the game. Like, I've never seen anything like that. But with that said, number 5 is what keeps me away from just focusing on who they've beaten and the performances by the other team. And Chicago helped out yesterday. There's no doubt they helped out. But you got number 5, which means you got a shot against anybody at any time. Like, this team's legit. They're a contender. I don't think that's crazy. Do you?
No. I don't think it's crazy anymore. I mean, to your point, like, again, when we typically break down quarterbacks, we look at the, umpteen different statistics, and we watch the film, and we talk about things in this sort of granular detail. But it's really not – what's so important about the quarterback is it makes everybody else on the team feel they have a chance every game. I mean, that's the difference. And that confidence, again, it's not something that could be measured or even explained at times. It just exists. And sure, the final play, the pass itself, the Hail Mary, of course, they practice it, but it's a fluky-ish play. We all understand that. But his ability to scramble the 13 seconds beforehand, not saying nobody else could have done that, but how many other quarterbacks would have been able to keep that
I don't think it was 13
going.
Seconds, but still, your point is well taken. It's 3 or 4. It's Mahomes, it's Allen, it's Jackson, there's a short list of people that make the first part of that play perfect from an execution standpoint.
Yeah, and this has just popped into my head. I remember watching live when Doug Flutie threw the Hail Mary for Boston College. It happened to be on my birthday back in the day, and what stood out about that, it wasn't just that they completed Hail Mary, that it was like a national TV game. It was that he did it. Like, that guy was incredibly special that year. He wins the Heisman, right?
Exactly.
It made sense that he did it. And that's what felt like yesterday. Of course, Jaden Daniels did this, because this is what this kid is doing. And the whole team is listed up accordingly. And even like the description of the play, yes, of course, they all want to explain, hey, this wasn't just luck. We practice this, and I buy all of it. But the detail to go into it, this random play that's probably never going to work, you're only going to use it once or twice, and they talked in such detail about how they planned it, what the execution was, that they think about these things. And those details are things, again, just in these places, it's I'm sure they ran these kind of plays and practice over the years, but to the degree of the details, I mean, Washington was more likely to have the Stevenson aspect with the guy screwing off in the corner and not paying attention versus
right.
Here's all the details that have to happen. These receivers go here, Ertz is in the middle, et cetera. And it's not, these guys are professionals, but there is something to be said when you have the quarterback. You can always believe that something is possible, and no better example than yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's, and I kind of emphasized the same thing at the beginning of the show. It's not just that this memorable game-ending play happened, all-time memorable game-ending play, but it's who threw the ball. And the fact that we're at the beginning of something that, knock on wood, he stays healthy. But this is the greatest start to a rookie season at that position in NFL history. He's already legitimately an elite quarterback in this league with the way he's playing. And, all due respect to Sam Howell and Taylor Heinicke and Carson Wentz and Alex Smith and Ryan Fitzpatrick, who else? Case Keenum, Colt McCoy. Like, if any of those guys threw the same ball to get you to, 3-4 or to 4-4 on the season, it's not the same. It's memorable, but it's not the same. Injury-wise, how'd they make out? I know that Cornelius Lucas was injured.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think we're going to have to find all that out today from Quinn. I don't think there was too much conversation about injuries other than Lucas was seen in a walking boot after the game. So, obviously we'll have to see what that is, especially if Brandon Coleman is unable to go. He was out this week, obviously, with the concussion. you know, they may have to figure out a new plan here at tackle or bring somebody in to help out in a pinch. So we'll see about that. But yeah, I mean, I'm just at general speaking, and still a little bit of a loss for words over this. And yeah. By the way, can I just say as a side note, like, you know, after, you know, games, you always see fan videos or whatever of the reaction. The amount of videos that are being out there that are just so incredible of whether it's people in the stands. My favorite one was probably, I think it's from NFL.com, where they had a cameraman on the field when the play happened, and he runs onto the field, and he's zooming in and out of all the chaotic scenes, and you see the various players and coaches in various forms of emotion, like Michael Dieter, the backup offensive lineman, is like jumping up and down like a 4-year-old in the middle of the field. Other guys are jumping on top of each other, and you know, Dan Quinn, you know, you saw him. He's sort of, as he said, kind of going the Jim Valvano route of, I don't know where to run, but I'm just going to keep moving. Like, all of that is just so incredible because of the fact, again, that it just doesn't happen here. It hasn't happened here. And then just seeing the national attention here. I mean, this is all anybody's talking about. And it's not just, I mean, Hail Marys do happen, but there is something extra that this one, again. And you can just tell by everybody talking about it.
You know, I've always felt this way, and I've talked about this in the past, especially the, you know, people of a certain age in the game, whether it's media-wise or former coaches, former players, you know, it's not current players. And there is a desire for Washington to be a franchise again that matters. For a lot of people in the league, for a lot of long-time people in the league, like, there are people you'll hear, you know, Belichick, and you could hear it in Nance's voice. You know, you could hear it. You're going to hear it a lot that it, because if this were Jacksonville or Carolina or Arizona, it's not the same. When the Packers got good with Brett Favre in the 90s, it had been so long since the Lombardi years, nearly 30 years, you know, kind of similar to this stretch. And there was great league fanfare about the return of the Packers to the limelight. I'm not going to put it at that level because Lombardi's Packers are, you know, they hold a sacred place in the history of the game. But there are a lot of people around the league, starting with the commissioner, by the way, who would love to see this market resuscitated. And it takes winning. It takes winning big, and it takes kind of a superstar at quarterback, and a few of those moments that are like indelible, that you're never ever going to forget. And we've gotten a lot of that in just 8 games, which is really kind of remarkable. This was not a slow build to feeling this way. Nobody could have predicted this. Great job. I'll talk to you later in the week.
Awesome, man. Thanks.
Ben Standing from The Athletic, everybody. Subscribe to The Athletic. He's got a podcast, Standing Room Only, and Ben can be followed on X on Twitter, at Ben Standing. There was a video that somebody sent to me involving Emmanuel Forbes. I want to get to that. Also, you'll hear my conversation last night right after the game with Zach Ertz from the locker room. We'll do that next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.